Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you can see we've got attorney Ken Affianco, FOPlawyer.com. That's the website, I believe. Am I correct on that, Ken? FOPlawyer.com?
That is correct.
Love it. And also a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. We also have ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million followers right now. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. And at our online store, LeoRoundtable.com, you get cool gear like what I'm wearing. So check it out, guys. And finally, FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter. So when you're going to Orlando, taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids, hook up with Zach. After you drop the wife and kids off at Disney, go do that bass fishing charter with Zach. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, he's got alligator hunting. You catch and release, or I should say relocate, the Florida alligator. Got a great reputation, don't they? The Florida alligator. So, yeah, and take pictures. I want to see the pictures when you hook up with Zach. So thanks, guys, for watching the show. Please support our sponsors, too. They go to great lengths to bring this quality content to you. Hey, what are we going to be talking about? Here's what the lineup is. And you know, Ken, I love having you on the show. It always seems, it must be a God thing, because whenever you come on the show, I always find a current storyline that I attempt to feed your attorney mindset, right? And so the first story, I don't know if you're as excited about it as I am, but it's manslaughter charge sparks a Michigan stand your ground debate after a teen is killed in a man's garage. But the whole way that happened and the guy's argument and stuff, I only had to hold the story for like a day, and you signed up, you know, for the day. So it worked out perfectly. And then we've got a mom bought ammunition and tactical gear for her son's planned mass violence at a school. That's pretty scary. We got body cam footage shows an 18-year-old suspect exchanging gunfire with police at Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then we got body cam shows the moment a suspect opened fires on Sandy Springs officers and he injures one officer. And then we got football fans demanding severe punishment for the Texas public safety trooper that checked the player that ran down the tunnel. And then Kitsap County Sheriff's Office, they tase an axe-wielding suspect. And Baltimore police officer is indicted after a viral video shows him chasing a person with a vehicle. And if we have time to get to the Brentwood police one, this officer is justified in fatally shooting a blood-covered man who was charging him with knives in his hand. And that's Attorney General Letitia James. You guys are going to love how that's worded. Ken, if you're okay, let's start off with the main topic. They have for our audience, they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper, but Ken likes deep stuff. You know, he likes to get, man, his mind gets going. So here we go. TampaFP.com, which is the Tampa Free Press. Manslaughter charge sparks in Michigan stand your ground debate after a teen is killed in a man's garage. So here's what goes down. We're in Michigan, and this guy's facing a manslaughter charge or charges after fatally shooting a 17-year-old who was with six other kids. They allegedly broke into this guy's garage in the early hours on July the 8th and reigniting a controversy over Michigan standard ground law. Now, Dayton Napton, now he is our homeowner who is in the grease. So Dayton, he's only 24 years old, but he gets alerted by his home security system around 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's armed with a 9mm handgun, and he fires two shots through a garage door that does not have any windows on it. So that would be the first flag in my brain, other than maybe him being 24. And I don't know. I think not that I want to outlaw 24-year-olds having guns, but maybe it's the perfect storm. So he fires through a door that he can't see through, striking a guy named Sivian Wilson, who's only 17. And according to the authorities, as the group flees, remember, this 17-year-old had six others with him. So as they're all running away, our homeowner, Nathan, fires five more shots, and then he reloads, and he returns outside. So they kind of make it sound like he goes in the house to get more bullets and reloads, comes back outside. And then our 17-year-old that was shot later succumbs to his injuries, and another teenager in the group ends up being shot in the leg. And so here's what the prosecutor, Karen McDonald, with the Oakland County says. The right Rights to own firearms and protect one's family and home are fundamental. These important rights also come with profound responsibility. And the prosecutor, her name is Karen, but that really doesn't have part to do with the story. It just is a nice little, you know, notation. But she goes on to say, our office worked closely with law enforcement to review the evidence, including the obvious mitigating factors which led us to the charges. We believe the evidence demonstrates this defendant, the homeowner, crossed the line by firing outside his home at fleeing persons. His actions not only took a life, but also potentially endangered the surrounding community by firing his weapon into the night. That's right. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. So, however, Napton's defense attorney, Dove Lustig, he insists the shooting was stone self-defense, noting that the homeowner had allegedly had his house broken into multiple times. Michigan law permits the use of deadly force against a home invader if the resident holds an honest and reasonable, keyword there, belief of a threat to their life. Now, Wilson's testimony has expressed a desire for a murder charge, claiming the action suggested malicious intent. And Napton, the homeowner, pled not guilty to the charges in November, and he was released on a $200,000 bond. Four minors and a 21-year-old who were with Wilson during the incident. So I guess they weren't all teenagers. There was one adult, you know, or a 21-year-old adult anyhow. They've all been charged with breaking and entering. So everybody was charged except for the one that died. Attorney Ken Afianko.
I don't even know where to start on this one. Let me just preface this by saying I don't know the ins and outs of Michigan law. I will analyze this pursuant to Florida law. We have a stand your ground, as you know, in Florida. We also have the presumption that you're in fear for your life if someone commits a carjacking on you or a home invasion. Here, a garage would be considered home invasion in the state of Florida. Therefore, the homeowner would have a right to use deadly force to stop that home invasion. Whether he could see in the garage or not, to me, that's not that big of a factor. If his alarm is alerting that someone's in the garage, I don't have that big of a problem because they were bad guys. Here's my response. Don't break into people's homes and we would never have this problem. How about we start with that premise first? However, going to the actual charging this guy with manslaughter, it wasn't because he shot him and killed one of them. It's because he's shooting at him as they're fleeing the scene outside. That's a problem. That would be a problem in Florida. However, what struck me as kind of odd in this situation is all the defendants who were in the garage, they should have all been charged with first degree murder for the felony murder rule because they're all engaged in a violent felony. Someone died in Florida. That is the felony murder rule. Therefore, you could charge them all with first degree murder. They just charged these guys with burglary. I'm sad to see the state of Michigan not go after the felony murder rule because I'm sure Michigan has it too. So I don't understand that. It seems like we're giving these kids a break for doing something illegal that costed their friend's life, and now we're blaming on this poor citizen who's probably not that familiar with the law. He's protecting his own property. Does he commit a mistake? Yes, he did. Should he be charged with manslaughter? That's not up for me to decide. Apparently, Michigan decided they were going to. So we'll see what happens when this guy takes it to trial. But there's a lot of unanswered questions with this case.
Yeah, that's a good point that you bring up about the Florida murder rule not being used. So, or I don't mean the Florida murder rule, but the felony murder rule. Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that. That's that's why you're on the show, and that's why you're an attorney, right? And that's why you're Ken Afianko. That's why you even have a website named after you.
Oh, yeah. FOP
attorney, absolutely. Lawyer, yeah. Good point. So let me ask you this. So in reading the article, I was trying to, you know, I suspect they say he shot through the garage door. So I'm assuming, I know sometimes you shouldn't make assumptions, but I'm assuming that he shot through. There's two garage doors. One is the one that's usually metallic or wooden, made out of aluminum, very thin, that opens and closes right on the outside. You drive your cars through when the port opens up, you know, and it drops. Or the one that leads into the house, which is usually made out of what, metal or wood, too. So I suspect that he was in the home and he shot through the one that went into the house, the wooden or the small one, And, you know, so you think that's what you think too?
That's my assumption. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, you know, and I don't, you know, with him being young, you know, you kind of wonder what people, you know, think about, when they're doing these things, you know, but, you know, they had that reasonable clause in there where, yeah, if the threat no longer exists and you're still using deadly force. And I really, part of the reason I wanted to bring the story on because we have Ken on the show. And the second thing is that we've got cops and civilians that watch this program. And we got family, friends, and loved ones of law enforcement. And I always want people to do scenario-based training, you know, as often as they can. And this is just to remind people that if the threat no longer exists and you're using deadly force, as Ken was talking about, it can get into grease. But we have more coming up. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. And it's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. You know, a lot of guys say they do, but do they really? A lot of guys actually don't. But listen to this. Even the motto of Gauls, and I don't know of a company that does it better than Gauls at Gauls.com, but even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code in order to get 15% off your next order, and it's radio 15. If you type in radio 15, the next time you go to Gauls.com, you get 15% off your next order. Guys, that's huge. Gauls.com. Now I want to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, we all know by now their flagship product right now, it's called the Glove. But today we're going to be talking about protection, and it goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those in the front lines from what they call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. And their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue to kill for up to 28 days, giving you peace of mind and helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. And you can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco at FOPLawyer.com. And we've been talking about a case, a senior ground case from Michigan, of all places, and the homeowner got jammed up. And we've been talking about maybe what not to do in order to get jammed up, and kind of explaining that. Any final words in that case before we move on to the mom buying the ammunition for her son?
I would just like to say about this manslaughter charge, it will be interesting to see if he takes it to trial and appeals to the fears of the jurors as far as people breaking in your home and having a right to defend yourself. I'll be interesting to see the outcome. Do All I right. think the charges were justified? Yes, but I could see a jury giving this guy a pass. He's just trying to defend his home. So it will be interesting to see how this goes.
So let me ask you this, Ken, because we have you on the show, so I'm going to take advantage of it. So what would be your advice to people about shooting through doors that you can't see past? In other words, not knowing what's on the other side. And remember a few years ago, we had a mom who was having an issue with a neighbor, and the chick was, you know, pounding on her door, and she shot through the door and killed her, and she ended up going to jail for that. So what would be your advice to people on stuff like that?
Don't. That's my advice. Don't. I mean, the bottom line is, here's what I tell people when I had my firearms training class. Unless you or an innocent person or a loved one is about to die, you better not pull the trigger. That's the best way I can sum up the deadly force, protecting yourself, stand your ground. Mm-hmm. You're going to die. Someone else is going to die who's innocent or a loved one. Then by all means. But unless you're there, forget it. You're liable to get in trouble.
What if someone that you just don't like is getting ready to die and you don't care?
If they're an innocent person, then you don't have an obligation to defend them.
There's no obligation. That's what I'm looking for.
Unless you're wearing a uniform, then you may have to take a different approach.
All right, good point. And there's a difference between a class and an individual, but well put. And the only thing I would add is that would you agree that it's got to be reasonable? Because some people argue, well, he was going to bust through the door, he was going to kill me, or I think that he, you know, he's pounding the door. It sounded like he had a metal object. I think it was a gun. He was going to kill me, so I shot through the door and I killed him, and I couldn't see he was on the other side. Or, you know, and I didn't know he was holding the baby, and I killed both of them, you know, with a single shot. You know,
it has to be reasonable. But here's the scary thing. 6 or 12 jurors are going to decide whether it's reasonable or not. In today's atmosphere, that scares the living daylights out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. That what you just said scares the living daylights out of me. You're absolutely right. Yeah. It's you're putting your future, your whole life in someone else's hands in today's world. Moving along, KSAT.com. Mom, guys, I'm going to read this twice because you guys are not going to believe the title. Mom bought ammunition and tactical gear for her son's planned mass violence at SAISD school, according to the police. Again, I'm going to say it again. Mom bought ammunition and tactical gear for her son's planned mass violence attack at a school. Kind of crazy. So we're in San Antonio, and the mother of the SAISD, I'm just going to go through it one time so you know what it stands for. It stands for San Antonio Independent School District. So that's what the I'm just going to call the SAISD school. But anyhow, this middle student allegedly bought ammunition, or she bought ammunition and magazines and tactical gear for her son, who had expressed a desire to carry out acts of mass violence at Jeremiah Rhodes Middle School, a middle school, according to San Antonio police. Now, Ashley Pardo, she's only 33 years old, was arrested on Monday on charges of aiding and commission of terrorism, according to court records. She bought the items with the knowledge that they would be used to plan and carry out a crime. And on Monday, the student showed up at Rhodes Middle School campus. He was wearing a mask and a camouflage jacket and tactical pants. But then he leaves shortly afterwards. Can you? A middle school. Investigators and school officials did not know where the student went for a period of time. So they added extra security and police officers. They started sweeping the campus for potential devices. And then the student was later found off campus and charged with terrorism. And this is all according to school officials. And they sent the parents a letter on Monday. Now, this is Monday, a week ago. Now, the student appeared in a juvenile court on Tuesday of last week. And another hearing is scheduled for later this month, and it indicated that he most likely remains in custody, according to KSAT. Now, on Sunday, which was the day before all this drama happened, a family member contacted the San Antonio Police Department, thank God for family members, about items found in the possession of Pardo, the mother's son, including a rifle and pistol ammunition, black tactical gear, and an improvised explosive device, an IED, made from a mortar-style firework. The family member also stated they found 3 loaded magazines and a note that had several names of mass shooters written on it. Some of the items were inscribed with 14 words and SS symbols, references to white supremacy and previous mass shootings. And also, Pardo, the mother, had previously been approached by her son's behavior about her son's behavior by local law enforcement and child protective services and school officials. Now, it also says that the mother expressed to the school her support for her son's violent expressions and drawings and does not feel concerned for his behavior, according to the affidavit. This is just crazy. And guys, it continues to get better. In January, the school became, back in January, so we're getting close to a year ago, the school became aware of drawings that the son did featuring the school's name written beside a rifle on a map of the campus labeled Suicide Route. According to authorities, there were timestamps written on the drawing. Pardo's son was suspended in April after it was discovered that he was researching the 2019 Christchurch mosque shooting on a school-issue computer, and he described a fascination with past mass shooters. And the student attended an alternative school until he returned back to the Jeremiah Rhodes Middle School, where all this stuff happened on May the 8th. And at that point, school officials implemented a safety plan in fear of potential violence. Now, Pardo, the mother, was issued a $75,000 bond, which she posted on Tuesday, and then she was released from Bexar County Jail, according to the record. So she's out of jail. Son apparently is still in custody, as far as we know, but I wouldn't say there's really any verification on that. But guys, can you believe that story? And I apparently we've lost attorney Ken Apieco for a second, but, and we're coming up on our second commercial break, but this is one of those stories. It's just so unbelievable. It's hard. It's just hard to believe. And that's why I had to read the title more than once. But guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. We're going to be discussing this in a little bit more detail. So stick this and we will be right back. All right, guys, we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at aeroprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Ken's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit aeroprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at aeroprecisionusa.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, meaning that now you guys can start getting your hands on the primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to aeroprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock and I'm your host. And we're joined by attorney Ken Apieco at FOPlawyer.com. And I do want to say real quick before we get back to the story, I've got some people entering the Gulch gift card giveaway. So thanks for doing that, Steve. I see your entry on there. We'll be announcing the winner during the next commercial break if we get enough entries. So if you haven't won in the last 90 days, if you're watching on the stream, simply type in the word Galls, that's G-A-L-L-S, and give us your email address so that I can email that digital card for you. And, you know, we just got done talking about a story before commercial break where we have a mom that is being, that's been arrested and being prosecuted for outfitting her son with a... going from memory here, well, with a rifle and ballistic vest when she knows that he was planning to do a mass shooting in a school and knowing that that's what it was going to be used for. And the kid's still in custody. Mom's been released. Ken Apieco, I see you're shaking your head. Yeah, this is a hard one.
Yeah, repulsive. Disgusting. She should go to prison for a very, very, very long time.
Well, she should be sterilized, I think, first, and then maybe go to prison.
I'm okay with that, too.
You're okay with that? Like the thought of her having any more children or at least raising any. I mean, it's you know, she's pretty screwed up. So, I mean, it sounds like the kid has got some issues, too. But, you know, do you really wonder why if he's got a mother like that? You know, the whole thing about her knowing, it's not like in the past where the parents can, you know, say they didn't know. She knew. And yeah, this is just sad. And thank God for the family member that came forward with this information. But, you know, the school was onto this stuff back in like January, almost a year ago, when he's, you know, writing, you know, pictures in school and putting timelines for the shooting and that kind of stuff. And he's like using school computers to research school shooters and stuff. So, you know, it's just scary. They've approached the mom before. So even when you do everything right and you're going through the process, if you you're only as strong as your weakest man. And when you have a parent that has that kind of mentality, it's just amazing that we're not discussing another, you know, mass school shooting, Ken.
No question about it. This is a very disturbing article.
So, well, any other commentary? Are you ready to roll on?
Sure. You can roll on.
All right, so we've got a couple of stories with video components, and you know, I was gone last week in Carmel and in Napa, and so This Is Butter, you know, our buddy that has This Is Butter at Rumble.com has it. I mean, I'm still going through all the video footage that he's got and grabbing new stories. He's got some great stuff. So this one's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it comes from, of course, Rumble.com and This Is Butter's channel. Body cam footage shows an 18-year-old suspect exchanged gunfire with police in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Come here a minute, buddy. Yeah, I'll talk to you.
Sewer in first.
6-17-14.
Shots fired. Buddy.
got to talk to you.
Keep your hands out of your pocket. Come here.
So Grand Rapids police say the confrontation unfolded on Sunday night when the officers approached an 18-year-old suspect during an investigation, and they were investigating a stolen firearm. So in the newly released video, the officers can be heard saying, "Hey, buddy, we want to talk to you." So look, they roll up in a cruiser, and this dude's on foot, and he's not, you know, it's always hard to judge distance when you're looking at, you know, dash cam or body cam, but it looks like there's a little bit of distance between them and him. And the Grand Rapids Police Chief Eric Winstrom said the suspect fired multiple shots. Well, you know, he starts walking away from the officers. And so he's just walking away and just unexpectedly turns towards them, guns in his hand. And dude, he's freaking firing. And it's not like one shot or two shot. This dude is freaking firing at them. And they're in a firefight. So one of the shots narrowly misses one of the officers and strikes the rear tire of the police cruiser. And remember, these guys are like on the sides of the cruiser. There's a female officer on the passenger side, male officer on the driver's side. And the chief says, from my experience, it looks as though the officer or that the offender, the bad guy, the kid, fired four shots at the officers. And one of the officers responded with seven rounds and the other officer fired two rounds. And I believe it was the female officer. She fired it sounded like two controlled shots from my recollection. And no one was hurt in the exchange. Nobody. I mean, bad guy, good guy, nobody. The suspect flees the scene, but was arrested quickly afterwards. The chief said that he recommended charges, including attempted murder and assault with intent to murder, to the Kent County Prosecutor's Office. And as of Wednesday, the charges had not been formally filed yet. Investigators say that they have not recovered a firearm that was used in the shooting. They have pictures of it, and they have not released the suspect's name. The chief confirmed that the teen was already known to them by the field training officers. So, Ken Afianko.
What can I say? 18-year-old trying to murder police officers. This is almost as disturbing as the last story. Bottom line is, I saw the video. It's chilling. I mean, no warning as to what he's doing. He's just walking away, turns around, he starts firing at the officers. They return fire. He runs away. As the article indicated, no one was hurt, thank goodness. Well, except for one person, thank goodness. But the bottom line is he should be charged as an adult with attempted murder, multiple accounts of a police officer. He should never see the light of day. How are you going to rehabilitate this kid? He's just going to come out and learn from this lesson and be a danger to every police officer and every citizen he encounters in the future. I don't have much hope of rehabilitating someone that's 18 that does this atrocious of an act. To begin with, this is just extremely disturbing, and they should show this video to every police academy where officers are going to be on the street. This is highly disturbing.
Agreed. You know, I noticed that I didn't necessarily like the backdrop, but I like the fact that the female officer did some controlled shots. And so when people hear me say this, and maybe you're civilians and you don't know what I'm talking about, and look, Ken's a firearms instructor. He knows his stuff better than I do. And plus he went to gunlearn.com. He's a certified firearm specialist. But when I say controlled shots, in other words, she's taking her time, controlling her breathing and depressing the trigger and doing a controlled shot to where she's making sure she's on target before she pulls that trigger, because she doesn't want, the backdrop was not ideal. There were some looked like frame homes, and starting to run between them. And she wanted to be, you know, spot on. And so she took her time instead of just doing like a double tap. And so I was kind of impressed with that, because she was, you know, not everybody, you know, we're not all created equal. You have some guys, some cops that are in shooting and moving target, and they'll actually see them stop because they are aware of the backdrop, and then they'll pick it back up again. As they follow the bad guy, they'll start shooting again when the backdrop changes into a, you know, a concrete wall or whatever. But there's some cops, they just don't have the capability to do that in a stressful environment. So I like it when I see that. Any final words or any more words on that, Ken?
No, I'm just glad the officers weren't hurt. I mean, they probably were in inches of getting shot, and I'm glad they weren't shot by this violent 18-year-old felon.
So, yeah, you know, that's a good point. You know, Ken, there's been all kinds of, scientific data. This is factual, guys. This is not even up to debate. Forest Science Institute and Critical Incident Review. You know, we've got Von Kleem, which is with Forest Science Institute, that's on our show. We've got Jamie Borden and Danny King, who are with Critical Incident Review. And these guys are experts in court. And, you know, they can tell you that even if these cops, when the guy wasn't responding and walking away, they didn't know he had a gun in his hand because he's facing away from them. They can't see his hands. But even if they would have had their guns pulled and pointed at him, he would have got at least one or two, maybe three shots off before they had the capability to respond with fire. So it's not a fair fight. He got the jump on them, and it literally takes that long for you to be able to recognize, you know, you have to see what's going on, and then your brain gets the information, and then it's got to process it and figure out that there's a threat, and then it's got to send the signal to your fingers to start pulling the trigger. And you still have to do site acquisition and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, these guys are lucky and fortunate, and it's dangerous work. It's dangerous work.
And to sum it up, we always tell the academy recruits when they're going through firearms training, action always beats reaction. That's the golden rule.
Yeah, I wish that wasn't true, but you're spot on, and that's just not going to change. All right. Well, guys, moving along, we're less than 2 minutes out from going to our next commercial break. Bob Cahill, thanks for registering for the contest. You did not give me your email address, though, so I have to have an email address. Otherwise, I have no way to get the digital card to you. So if you guys are entering the Galls gift card giveaway and you're watching the show on the stream, all you have to do is type in the word Galls, G-A-L-L-S, and give us your email address, or at least let me know that you emailed it to me at chiptheblock@gmail.com. You'll be entered in the win. We'll be announcing the winner during the next commercial break. Guys, our next story I'm going to go through, we got a little over a minute before we take our next commercial break, which will be our third one. The next story is a video component as well. So we're back at rumble.com. This is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Body cam shows the moment a suspect fired on a Sandy Springs officer. He injures one officer. Okay. Body on the bed.
Sandy Springs police! Call out to me, make yourself known!
All right,
there's an open door to the left. Push up, cover that one. Close that one. Oh! Ah, fuck! I'm hit, I'm good! I'm hitting the finger.
Stop fire!
I hate seeing and hearing cops get shot. And so this is Sandy Springs, Georgia. So Sandy Springs police have released body cam footage of the moment dozens of shots ended up being fired at officers. They're inside of a home. It happened last month, and one of the officers was injured. He got shot in the thumb. So thank God that's all it was. But he was losing a substantial amount of blood, too. Officers were responding to a home on October 14th for reports of shots being fired inside. Newly released body cam video shows several officers in the hallway of a home when they hear gunfire. So I want to back it up, and I'm actually starting the music for the for the third commercial break where we're going to be announcing a winner. But I'm going to break this thing down. I'm going to take my show notes and start incorporating them, because there's some things that the story leaves out that you guys need to be aware of. You don't want to miss this. It's a very interesting story. Kent's going to break it down for us too. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own attorney Ken Affianco and also Captain Brett Bartlett. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco with the FOP at FOPLawyer.com. We got a pretty interesting story here. A cop gets injured, I wouldn't say severely, but the title was Body Cam Shows the Moment a Suspect Opened Fires on Sandy Springs Officers, that's in Georgia, injuring one. So these officers, you know, there's reports of shots being fired inside. And so the officers are at the end of a hallway, and at the other end of the hallway, there's a bedroom with an open door. And one of the officers that's got the ballistic shield verbalizes to the officer beside him, and they look like SWAT officers. They're geared up. And there's another video. You can see there's a whole, like almost like squad of SWAT officers behind these two guys that we're seeing in the first, you know, body cam. So they're at opposite ends of the hallway. The guy with the ballistic shield says, hey, there's somebody, there's a body on the bed. Now, I don't know whether it's our shooter or whether it's just a body. It looked like it was a body, but there's nothing else in the article about, you know, the shooter having shot somebody that I'm aware of. So I don't have the answer to that. But I do know that the officer who beside him who had a rifle said, hey, go ahead and go on the other side of the hallway. So this is where the action happens. And maybe when they do after actions, they'll think about how they did that. So the guy with the ballistic shield, he turns sideways and he walks and he's exposed, it appears to me, when he breaches the hallway to go to the other side of the hallway. They want to have guys on both sides of the hallway. As soon as he does that, the shots are ring out. Now, I thought the shooter had actually struck the guy with the ballistic shield because the ballistic shield moved sideways and the officer exposed himself. That's not what happened. Our guy with the AR-15 or M4, whatever he had, he goes into the hallway to check out the guy with the, you know, that was in that room. And as soon as he was exposed without the protection of that ballistic shield, dude, that shooter took him out and caught him right in the thumb. It could have been much worse. So that's how that happened. So the gunfire happens, and it's a lot of gunfire. The officer ends up being grazed by a bullet on the thumb. He survived the injury. Then the body cam shows the moment that the injured officer lets his fellow officers know that he's okay or that he's been hurt, but that he's okay. And police say the guy barricaded himself inside the room. Now, there's hours of negotiation, which is pretty much that doesn't have really much to do with the story, but just to let the people who follow the story know that the guy barricades himself. There's negotiations, and he finally gives up, lays down, they handcuff him, and he goes, they both go to the hospital, the cop and the bad guy. And I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone to the hospital with a bad guy, Ken. I have on multiple occasions. You know, we go down, sometimes it's together, but normally not in the same ambulance, but you're on bed side by side in the ER, you know, getting worked on, you know, not a lot of fun. But Ken Afiaco, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, for getting shot in the thumb, boy, it looked like he got shot in the carotid artery. He's spewing blood everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. I thought he hit an artery in the arm. That's what I was thinking. Then he says, my thumb is shot. But anyway, barring none, this bad guy got off a ton of rounds before they even returned fire, from what I could see. Very dangerous situation. You're in a fatal funnel. You got two officers that I could see on body camera, both in the fatal funnel, both carrying rifles, which are kind of hard to maneuver in tight quarters anyway. But luckily, that's all they got was a shot in the thumb.
Yeah.
You know, but there was a lot of lead flying both ways in that one.
Yeah. And our cop with the ballistic shield that was holding it up properly, and he had a pistol on the outside of it. That he could use because the ballistic shield he could see through, unlike a garage door, you know. Yeah. But you know, so many things were being done right in the beginning. It's just, you know, in hindsight, well, in hindsight, they should have had more than one ballistic shield if they're going to compromise that hallway and get to the other side. And the trajectory should have kept the ballistic shield in place. It wouldn't have helped his partner out with the AR, but it would have helped protect him. Even though he didn't get shot, he certainly was a friggin' target at that point. And I don't think that any one of them knew that there was a bad guy that had a bead on them, but apparently there was. I really kind of suspect that there was a body on the bed and that the bad guy was elsewhere in that room and had a bead on the cops, potentially with a long gun. So I don't have all that info.
Yeah. Very frightening.
Yeah. All right. So if good coverage on that, we've got about 4.5 minutes, guys. So Ken, you know, we can talk about your choice, Ken. We can talk about the football fans demanding severe punishment for that Texas public safety trooper.
Yeah, let's do that one. Yeah,
you want to do that one?
Yeah,
okay.
I like
it. It was either that one or the officer indicted for the video of him chasing the guy down with his car and hitting him. No? Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah, because we all know that would never happen. That's fake anyhow, fake news. So anyhow, trending.thespun.com is the website. Football fans demanding severe punishment for the Texas public safety trooper. So guys, I think we've all seen the video by now. There were some longer versions of it, which I think are advantageous to see what happened, the moments, what led to this. But we still don't have all the information, but here we go. A Texas Department of Public Safety trooper seemingly there's video. I mean, it's a little doubt. He shoulder checked a freaking member of the South Carolina offense during the first half. After making a big play, Gamecocks wide receiver runs into the tunnel, but he also runs with other teammates and he's trying to slow himself down. You could argue maybe he could have slowed himself down further or not, but I don't see it as a big deal. On his way out of the tunnel, when they turn around and they're coming back out, you know, the troopers deep in that tunnel back where they went. And so they're coming out. Now you can start seeing, because it's dark in there. So when they get to the light, you can see the troopers obviously upset. And he shoulder checks the dude that ran down there. And then the guy looks back at the trooper, and the trooper's yelling at him. He's outraged. And so the fans are outraged too. And they're calling the trooper's behavior dreadful and demanding that he be punished. And so the Texas DPS, Department of Public Safety, a few hours later, they released a statement on X, formerly Twitter, that the trooper was sent home. And so I'm assuming sent home from the game. And they stated that the incident will be reviewed by the Office of Inspector General. It also goes on to say that college football fans did not feel that the punishment was sufficient enough. Many have taken to the replies to suggest that the greater punishment is needed, that the trooper might be even more dangerous when he doesn't have cameras pointed at him. You know, I know what I'm thinking, but Ken, I like to hear what you're thinking on this one.
I have to admit, when I first saw the article heading and read the article, and then I watched the video, as a cop humor, I chuckled. I mean, yeah, did he check him? Yeah. The guy's in full pads with a helmet, a shirt. It's not like he hurt the kid, but nonetheless, is it unprofessional? No question about it. All I can say is darn for those cameras. You know, it's a shame. But yeah, obviously you're going to have to deal with this guy. But we don't know the backstory. We don't know right. If he had some sort of issue with this kid before, the kid's calling him names or whatever. It doesn't excuse the behavior, but at least you have some background. Maybe you could understand a little bit more. Maybe it was 95 degrees outside on the field and the trooper's hot. You know, he's agitated, irritated. Yeah, sometimes we lose our cool. I get it. We're not supposed to, but we're human. I honestly don't see it as the federal crime that these people are making it out to be. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's yelling at the kid, but we don't know what was said. Maybe this kid is yelling F you pigs before he got checked. I don't know. Who knows in today's society? So I'm not as riled up over it as maybe some people.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I'll tell you what my recommendation is, absent, you know, pertinent information that I may not have, but I don't know what the protocol is. I've worked a ton of games and events, Super Bowls, RNCs, DNCs, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know what the protocol was for the work in the tunnel. I don't know if there was a threat that they were concerned with or what the concern was with him going in the tunnel. I suspect that there probably is on the trooper's mind a legitimate, but anyhow, barring, you know, without more information, I would say if I was the chief or the sheriff, he's probably there in an off-duty capacity. Don't take away his off-duty capacity. Just take it away for working the stadium events. This guy's probably not the guy that you want working in a stadium, on or off duty. Doesn't really matter. Maybe stroke him some paper. I could see that, unless there's something justifying it, like Ken was saying. Some people just aren't, you know, if their tolerance isn't that high, maybe he had a bad day or something else happened, like Ken's talking about. But when you're on camera, national TV or whatever, you know, you've got to be that guy that can handle that pressure and turn it on and turn it off when it needs to be. And he may not be that guy. So
I've got the perfect answer how to resolve this. Have Trump invite him to the White House and they can both have a beer outside in the yard. like that time Obama did with that cop in Connecticut and arrested the Harvard professor.
Oh, yeah.
He remember ruined that? Come to the White House and we're going to split a beer and talk about it.
All right. Hey, guys, thanks for watching the show. Attorney Ken Affianco, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, FisherLandoBass.com.